you, Holy Spirit, for being in this place. Listen, Reverend Dr. Samuel B. Reeves needs no real introduction. This is about the fourth or fifth Labor Day weekend he has shared with us. And I told him some years ago that every Labor Day is his Sunday at Shiloh Baptist Church. He usually makes a pilgrimage here to the United States every summer for about a couple months. It is his time to connect with folk, family, and friends here in the United States. United States has been a place where he has sown great seed, and there has been great harvest. He is a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary, where I met him back in 1995. Then he was finishing up his master's in divinity degree and about to start his doctor of ministry degree. Went on to do that and earned a doctor of ministry degree from both an MDiv and a DMin from Princeton Theological Seminary. And that catapulted him into a unique breed of international leader that Princeton has put out and produced to go and carry forth the gospel across the oceans, whether that's in Africa, Asia, whether that's in Europe or South America or Central America. And Reverend Dr. Reeves has been doing that both nationally in his own country of the Republic of Liberia and West Africa, but also around the world. He is a respected international Christian leader, active in the World Baptist Alliance, which is an international body of Baptist Christians of Baptist heritage. He is a vice president of the Liberian Baptist Association, so the second highest in the largest ranking Christian denomination in the entire country of Liberia. He is the former pastor of the Madison Square Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, former co-pastor. And there he served as co-pastor until God called him back to his home country at Providence Baptist Church in Liberia. He is married, and his wife and he have a son who is starting his second year at the University of Michigan in Kalamazoo, and just doing great things on an international front. He is a leader in ecumenical relationships, and I'm just proud, godly proud to call him a friend. He invited me and John Weaver to Brother John to head to Liberia back in March, and we had an amazing time. We watched him, his church launch a new medical mission effort in about 2 hours north along the Sierra Leone's border. And so I've got see Dr. and Dr. Brown out there and a few others of our medical professionals. We're looking for some medical professionals to go back over to Liberia with us in March of 2012. Amen. Give God a praise offering for that. So we are connected and connecting in deeper ways with the Providence Baptist Church and with the Reverend Dr. Samuel B. Reeves. That church has an amazing history, over 190 years of age. Amen. I went to preach for the 190th anniversary, and the first pastor was the Reverend Lot Carey, an international leader when it came to African resettlement back home from America to the west coast of Africa, and particularly Liberia. So he stands in a rich tradition, some 23 men strong who have led Providence before him, and he is doing an outstanding job. He's going to be here at 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We're going to meet with Congressman Donald Payne on Wednesday. He's going to preach for us on Wednesday night. We're going to meet with other local and national business leaders and political leaders and other folk. He is doing a great work for the Lord, and I'm proud to call him my brother in Christ, our friend. So, Shiloh, I want you to give a warm, hearty, godly, Spirit-filled welcome to the Reverend Dr. Samuel B. Reeves, and let us give God a praise offering. Let us extend our right hand, and let us say, Lord, bless us through your servant, Reverend Dr. Reeves. The next voice you shall hear will be that of Reverend Dr. Samuel B. Reeves. Again, put your hands together, give him some encouragement as he comes.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
It's good to be back, let me say, home, away from home. And I want to praise God and thank Him for yet another opportunity to be here and to worship Him and to share the good news. It's not just news, but it's good. In the midst of our bad situation, there's always good news. Reverend Martin, it's good to have you here, and other members of Providence who are in the congregation, and the rest of you who are Liberians, and even though you don't know it, but God bless all of you. Amen? Amen, because it's just good to see all of us. We all come from the same stock. Amen? Amen, amen, and we want to just celebrate that and praise God for His goodness and His loving kindness and His tender mercy. Look in your seats. There's some seat belts. I want you to untie yourselves this morning. Let's have church. All right. Amen. Yeah. And so just do me a favor. I'll open your wrist to something we call watches. Take them off. Put them in your pockets. If you borrow me a few amens every now and then and help me preach the sermon, we'll be out of here early. But if I have to do it all by myself, we will be done when I'm finished. It's just good to be back here with my friend and brother. Amen. Amen. And in these days when it's hard to hear men say to each other in a genuine Christian, authentic way, I love you, my brother. Amen. 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 God bless you. It's just good to be here. The office of the members of this great. Bring your greetings from your brothers and sisters and aunties back in Liberia. Deacon Deeks and others. Well, thank you. It's good to be here and come to continue to join and continue to build that sister church partnership that we are endeavoring to build between Providence and Shiloh. Your pastor show up in the city of Monrovia and is never been the same. Amen. I'm still asking for carpenters to fix the benches and masons to fix the roof after he left. He said he's coming back next year. I'm going to have to hold him up a little because the place is not ready yet. I think we'll be ready before he gets there. Amen. It's good to be here, and it's just good to share the word of God. I just love to preach. I'm going to cut up and carry on like I'm back home. You just excuse me. Amen? Amen. Let us stand. Stand with me real quick in honor of the word of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I went on the website on yesterday and tried to check and find out all the sermons that I've preached since I've been here. And the Lord laid this sermon on my heart. And for some reason, I just thought that I'd preach it here. And I just said to myself, if I preach it before, then you need it another time. All right. Amen? Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, the first 8 verses. If you're there, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute, preacher. I'll wait a few seconds. Isaiah chapter 6, the first 8 verses. If you don't understand anything I say throughout this sermon, get the tape. You hear it a second time, may help you. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, yeah, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings, with 2 they cover their faces, and with 2 they cover their feet, and with 2 they were flying. They were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cry, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the servants flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send?" Say that with me. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Amen. And I said, "Here am I, sent me." Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, on this thy people pour all thy power. Lord, grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the facing of this hour.
Lord, may I yield my sermon to your utterance, my faith to your sight, and my imagination to your divine inspiration. Speak for us, speak to us, speak through us. Help us to hear from heaven today.
Yes, God.
Let the words of my mouth and the collective meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. In about 758 BC, we're told, the prophet Isaiah encountered God in a strange and unusual manner. Isaiah, we're told, unlike so many of his contemporaries, was a young man with a privilege and a problem. Just like many of our young people today, just like many of us today, we're so privileged we don't know how privileged we are. But covered with that privilege, or with the privilege that the Lord has blessed us with, there's always a problem, sometimes a challenge. Are you with me this morning?
Oh, yes.
So every now and then I ask, and if you're not sleeping, just say amen if you're not sleeping. Are you with me this morning?
Oh, yes.
Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah, we're told, was a member of the royal court and advisor and confidant of King Uzziah.
Uh-huh.
He had his life all planned out. Everything was fine. I believe he had his retirement in place. He had his health insurance all figured out. Everything was lined up for the young man. Listen, he taught him. He had it all figured out. He worked in the palace, and all that he wanted, he had. You know, every now and then God blesses us. We're not just connected with the church and with the temple, but God blesses us in such a way that we're connected with the state. My. Listen, King Uzziah was Isaiah's assurance. Isaiah worked with President Obama in contemporary time. He was in the Oath of Office. Isaiah was connected to the executive branch of power. Isaiah, a connection with the king made sure he began to wonder to himself, I got all things figured out. Everything is all right. I don't need to worry about anything. You see, because the king had ruled for more than 52 years, and Israel had experienced perhaps the longest sustained period of prosperity in its history. Listen, Isaiah was minding his own business one day somewhere on Calhoun Street, and he picked up the Trenton Times, and he heard the headline that said, King Uzziah died last night. The death of the king was shocking and disappointing for Isaiah. Listen, but his problem was what he had all figured out fell to pieces when the king died. Listen, what happened to him in the temple was connected to the death of the king. His center of influence had died. There was an alteration of plan. Are you still with me this morning? Listen, Isaiah encountered God during a time of a personal tragedy. The king was connected to Isaiah's future. Isaiah encountered God in a time when things were strange. Let me tell you, sometimes God takes tragedy to get us closer to him. The young man had been going to the temple all his life, but it was not until the king died, the Bible says, Isaiah saw the Lord. Let me tell you, sometimes we play church, sometimes we come to church just to meet a Sunday morning appointment, and sometimes it takes grandmama to pass away for us to see Jesus. Sometimes it takes the losing of our jobs for us to find the master. Listen, the Bible tells us that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. The king was more than his employer. The king was his friend. Listen, the death of the king was the plowing of the snow from the path of his heart, church. The death of the king was the cleansing of the scale from the eyes of Isaiah's soul. Listen, the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. And so on my way to glory, I haven't started preaching yet. I just stopped by here to speak to you from the theme, the asking God.
The asking God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The asking God. Mm-hmm. All of us here have had experiences with a giving God. Gimme, 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 gimme. I want a husband. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need a job. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need some money. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want this God. You give me. God seemed to be the one who supplies all of our needs because he's there. We have a laundry list. And God sometimes works nothing to us but a God who gives us stuff when we want it. But God, let me tell you, God said to Sharon this morning, I show up here this morning, not God that's going to take your laundry list. I have my own laundry list this morning. I got some stuff to ask you all this morning. But I wonder how many of us this morning have really had an experience with the asking God. This was Isaiah's experience. Today's sermon, I believe, will help us deal with the paradox of an all-sufficient God on the one hand, but a God who is also at the same time, on the other hand, a God who is in need. He's all-sufficient, but he showed up at Shiloh this morning as a God who is in need. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Pastor Reeves, yes, Deacon Deeks, who are you really talking about? I'm glad you asked us one. Listen, I'm talking about the God who is the creator. I'm talking about the God who is the sustainer. I'm talking about the same God who is the redeemer and the possessor of the entire universe. I'm talking about the one who's worthy of our worship. I'm talking about the one who's worthy of our reverent loyalty. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am that I am. The asking God. What a paradox. What a contradiction in terms. How is it possible, Pastor Reeves, I'm glad you asked, Dr. Armstrong. How can God, who from the beginning of time said, let there be and there was, ask for anything? How can God, who out of nothing made everything, ask for anything? How can God, who said, let there be and there was, for anything this morning? How can God, who said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, how can this God ask for anything?
Yeah.
In the midst of all of Isaiah's wars, confusion, and the uncertainties of Israel's future, Isaiah went to the temple. Let me tell you, every now and then, things will not turn out the way things ought to turn out. Every now and then, a hurricane will come running through our life experience. Every now and then, folk will mess with you and mess on you. Every now and then, the going will get rough and the rough will get going. Let me tell you, when things get tough, the place to be is not in your petty party, in your basement crying, oh, what did this do this to me? The place to be when things are tougher. The place to be when hell breaks loose. The place to be when all mess breaks out on you is not in your self-defeating party. The place to be is in the church of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, when all hell broke loose for Isaiah, he could have stayed home. His boss man had died. He could have cried. Isaiah, the Bible said, found himself in church.
Amen.
Isaiah was no stranger to the presence of royalty. But let me tell you, it's good to be connected to Capitol Hill. It's good to be connected to the state government. It's good to be connected perhaps to the governor, maybe not this governor. It's good to be connected to some folk out there, let me tell you. But nothing Isaiah has seen in a court, in a temple, with the king, prepare him for a glimpse of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. High and lifted up. Let me tell you, Isaiah was so messed up by the experience of the death of the king. Isaiah knew well that the place to be was not in his office. prophets crying and thinking about what had happened, Isaiah found out that the place to be was in church. Let me tell you, when things get rough, God has a plan for you. When things messed up, God knows what God's doing. Let me tell you, Isaiah found himself in church and God showed up like he'd always did. So on that day, something happened that perhaps had never happened to Isaiah before while he went to church. Listen, on that day, because God knew Isaiah was in a place he's never been before. On that day, God made sure there was some special attendance in church that day. Listen, said there were some creatures in the place, and they saw and they knew Isaiah's condition. Listen, it said there were some creatures that had some funny futures. Let me tell you, it says those seraphs appear in church, and they were there. They were, they say, and they had two wings each. See, with two wings, they cover their faces. Isaiah was in church and he needed to hear God and see what God was doing. With two, it said they cover their faces. Why they cover? I'm glad you asked, Cecilia. They cover their faces to show their reverence for God. Because Isaiah needed to know that God is a reverent God. Listen, it says with two, they cover their feet. Why did they cover their feet? Isaiah needed to know they cover their feet to show their modesty before God. Isaiah needed to know that he was connected to the king, but there was a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, and Isaiah needed to show his modesty in the presence of God. Listen, it says with two, they cover, they were ready to fly. That means they show their readiness to be of service to God. Listen, it's not good enough just to come to church. It's not good enough just to be here on Sunday morning. When we're here, we need to reverend God. When we're here, we need to show that we are nothing but pee-wee little peanuts in the sight of Almighty God. When we're here, we ought to know that God expects us to be of service in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So the heavenly creatures praise God with such a triune, three-four expression. The choir begin to sing, holy. The deacons begin to shout, holy. The deaconess is shouting, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Amen. All right. The whole earth is full of his glory. Listen, the sound of praise that emanated from the mouth of the heavenly creatures was so overwhelming, it was worse than Hurricane Irene. Lord have mercy to the destruction it caused to many of us in this nation. Listen, the Bible tells us that the earth shook and the room was filled with smoke. Not the thing we puff when we get outside of church. Let me tell you, I'm talking about the presence of the living God. When the Bible talks about smoke, it means God's been there. He's been worshipped. Listen, in the temple, Isaiah recognized that he could not worship God authentically with a filthy mouth and a sinful heart. His condition and his encounter with God brings us, church, to the realization that when our true condition is made apparent by the radiant light of God's holiness, our response like Isaiah will be, must be, should be, woe is me. I am undone. I am messed up. I'm not what I used to be. Woe is me. I am a man. I'm a woman of unclean lips. And I bear the burden of my sins. And shall acknowledge it before my God. This is absolutely necessary. If we as a people and the church are to be transformed and refurbished by the presence of the living God. Are you with me this morning? Yes. Give God a big hand of praise about now. Yes. Listen, a few years ago, maybe many, many years ago, a woman in Kansas City walked into a Häagen-Dazs ice cream shop at the Plaza Shopping Center. While they're waiting, she turned to find standing behind her Paul Newman. I think he's dead now. Standing behind Paul was his greatest fan. He was in town filming the movie Mr. and Mrs. Bridges, and was now standing behind one of his biggest fans. As she turned around and looked at him, he smiled at her and he said, "Hello, ma'am." She took one look at him and her knees almost buckled. Her heart moved from its position down here in her throat. She tried to speak and answer the man, but not a sound came from her mouth. Mortified, she turned around and paid for her ice cream, then quickly ran out the store. Outside, she sat down on a bench and caught her breath. Whew. As she calmed down, she realized she didn't have her ice cream cone. She was debating with herself, why did I pay for my ice cream and that man didn't give me my ice cream? She wondered, should I go back in there and confront him? She decided yes, and as she got up and began to walk back into the ice cream shop, Paul walked out. "Ma'am, are you looking for your ice cream?" She couldn't even say yes, she nodded affirmatively. He said to her, "Ma'am, you put it in your purse with your change. You put it in your purse with your change." So caught up that she was standing in the presence of someone she admired so much that she acted in a crazy way. Let me tell you, church, if you and I come face to face with a celebrity of all time, Jesus Christ, I imagine we'll behave just the same way. Let me tell you to all the ladies, excuse me, men, to all the ladies, if Denzel Washington showed up in this space today, you'll leave your husband sitting here and you'll follow him. Am I right about it? You just be truthful, you ain't church now. Listen, in his worship, Isaiah came face to face with the greatest celebrity of all time. He came face to face with the great I am that I am, the God of the universe, the God of salvation, the one who is the reverend royalty, the majesty, all power and all glory. He came face to face with the great I am that I am. And Isaiah heard, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded correctly, accordingly. You see, he could have said, "No, don't send me, I'm just a deacon. I haven't been to theological school. You send Pastor Armstrong, that's why we paid him." He could have said, "Look, I don't have a degree from a famous university." He could have said, "I just got to know Jesus Christ." Let me tell you, Isaiah realized that God was there, not a God with sending a laundry list. God was there as an asking God. God was there in need of something from Isaiah. When we show up in church, let me tell you, God shows up because he needs something from us. Ooh. Shiloh, worship is not a church meeting, although it can occur there. Worship is not just singing of religious songs. Let me tell you, although music plays one of the most vital role in our worship, no, listen, real worship occurs when we experience the paradox of the Almighty. Real worship occurs when we enter into the presence of the living God. Real worship occurs when we see who God is and we respond to God accordingly. Because the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. The Lord of the harvest is asking this morning. God is asking for unredeemed people to receive redemption and salvation. God is asking for the redeemed of the Lord to stand in the gap, both male and female. Four men saw an ad in the papers. A of a man who was looking to hire a telegraph operator. Some of you who've been around a long time, you know what I'm talking about. We're too modern these days. We don't know what all that old stuff. But listen, four men were, so they're sending the application, and they were told to come in and get an interview. The four men were sitting in the auto office waiting to be interviewed by the man who wanted to hire a telegraph operator. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Listen, two of the men walked around while they waited and talked, and the third man read a magazine. Suddenly, the fourth man got up, walked in the door that had marked on the outside, "Private, do not enter, only by permission." This man went in this room, and in a few minutes he came running outside this room with a big broad smile on his face. He said, "I got the job." The other three men got mad. "How come he got the job? I saw him go into that room, but the room said only by permission." What the other three didn't realize, that while they sat there and chatted and talked with other folk and read magazines, the man who was looking to hire a telegraph operator began to do something strange in that place. On the other side of the door, that man who was looking to hire began to do something, he said, in a code on the back of the door. "Some folk here looking to be hired as a telegraph operator." And the first man who hears this code and comes in this office, we get the interview and we get the job. And this man got the job. All the rest of the folks sat there, but this man sat there, moved around, but he listened. Let me tell you, the difference between the other three and this one man was the fact that this man listened. Let me tell you, we come to church, but we don't listen. We come to church, the choir sings, and we don't listen. Pastor preach, we don't listen. Deacon serve, we don't listen. So we come to church, we go back empty. We got nothing from the Lord because we fail to listen. Let me tell you, there's a difference between hearing and listening. My grandmother used to say to me, "Child, it just went from one ear to another. You just heard me, you didn't listen." Let me tell you, this man listened. He heard the code. He got the interpretation. He got the job. Listen, God got some blessings for us, and we can't receive it until we come to church and we listen. Because God got some messages for our messed up situation. We won't get it until we listen to what God has to say to us. It's not good enough just to come here and to hear. We need to listen. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? We come here 52 Sundays. Some of us maybe come here every day of the year, 365 days. We still don't listen. Listen, throughout the Bible, I'm coming home now. Throughout the Bible, God have asked great men and women to be courageous and to live outside of their comfort zones and to attempt the impossible for God. Let me tell you, God is so great. Listen, God does the marvelous. And sometimes we want God to do the little puny little things. We walking down the road and there's a little rock. We want to pray, "Holy Spirit, have mercy. Jesus, can you move that rock?" Now, the Lord has saved you. That's a great thing. You can move that rock yourself. Let me tell you, God said we need to be in partnership with Him. And there's some things that we can do. Only God can do. There's some things that God wouldn't do because you and I can't do that. So every now and then God messed up our camps of ease. God showed up. God said, "I want you to go outside of your comfort zone. I know you're comfortable here. I know you got everything you think you need. Let me tell you, I'm going to shake you up a little bit. I'm going to mess up your plans because I got some great things in store for you. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Listen, Noah could have said, "Sorry, God, I don't do boats." But listen, Noah believed God. Noah got outside of his comfort zone. Noah built a boat during the dry season, during the during the summertime here in Trenton, and when it didn't make any sense at all, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Moses could have said, sorry God, I have a speech impediment. I don't do good speeches. I don't do burning bushes. But Moses believed God. Moses got outside of his comfort zone. Moses did what God wanted him to do. Woo. Moses confronted Pharaoh. Deliver a whole nation and an enslaved people. And God delivered freedom to that nation. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Listen, David could have said, sorry God, I'm only a shepherd boy. I was only sent to bring lunch to my brothers on the war front. But I don't fight, and you see me, I'm just a lad. But David believed God. David got outside of his comfort zone. David put on some armor that was too big for him. David realized that God had to do some great things through him. David took 3 stones, rolled it around a sling. David knocked down a big giant because he got allowed himself through the power of the Holy Spirit to get outside of his comfort zone. David killed Goliath. David became the king of a great nation. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Mary could have said to the angels, I'm just a country girl from somewhere in Mississippi, somewhere here in New Jersey. Don't you know, angel, I'm a virgin. I don't do babies. I don't do the Son of God. But Mary believed in God. Mary believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary allowed God to use her in her country condition. Mary became the mother of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mary became the mother of our living Savior. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah, in despair, in chapter 6, replied to the angel. He said, woe is me, I am not good enough, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among folk who are just as messed up as I am. Then God, through the angel, said, and touched his mouth with a burning coal. Behold, this has touched your lips, and your messed upness is taken away. And your sins atoned for. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Like Isaiah, God is asking not for our abilities, but for our availabilities. He's asking not for how long you've been in the church, but for how faithful you are. He's asking not for what your name brand is. He's asking not whether if your name is printed on the bench. He's asking how faithful you are to the things of God. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? He's asking not for how capable we are. He believes in our capability. But he's asking for how much of our gifts and our talents and our messed upness are we willing to allow him to use the glory of his kingdom. The asking God. Like Isaiah, God is asking not for a perfect bill of spiritual health, but for how much of our brokenness are we willing to allow him to heal? So let me tell you, because sometimes church folk are the most funny folk. We tend to want to mess with each other. Let me tell you, I may not know, you may fool me with all that religiosity. You know, you shout, hallelujah, the Lord is the head of my life and all that good stuff. But somewhere deep down inside, you're messed up and you're struggling. Let me tell you, in that God knows who you are. So you may as well be authentic with the Lord. Let me tell you, he's asking for us to show our real self. Lord, here am I messed up. Need some help. Need some fixing. Fix me, Jesus. Let the whole church know that I was lost. Now I'm found. Was bound. Now I'm free, Jesus. Fix me. God is asking for how much of our tears of rejection
Are we willing to allow him to turn into celebrations of joy? God is asking for how much of the darknesses of our yesterdays are we willing to allow him to turn into brighter tomorrows? God is asking for how much of our weaknesses and are we willing to allow God to turn into strength? Shiloh, don't be blinded to the fact that God, listen, if you get nothing else, listen, that don't be blinded to the fact that God requires a response from all to whom God reveals God's self. If God reveals himself to you, God requires a response. Listen, the genuineness of our experiences of God is tested by our openness to hear and to listen and to answer God's call to us through a life of loving service and faithful witness. Whatever that may involve and wherever that may lead, our service and witness of God should not be based on our openness to hear and to answer God's call to us only, but to be based on allowing God to use us. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Think about your worst situation. God can use you. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I can't help it. I sat and mind my business just like Isaiah 7, 8, 9 years ago, having a good time in Grand Rapids. God messed me up. Said, I got something for you to do. Took me from my comfort zone. Took me from a place where I could flip the lights, flip it all. But I could be romantic with my lights and my bath water. He sent me to a place where I couldn't find any bath water. But let me tell you, in God's call, God is faithful. God takes care of you. God will make sure you have your needs met. God called. I said, Lord, what you doing now? He said, I'm about to mess up your plans. Got a degree, got degrees from the best schools in the world. I need you somewhere. Over here, maybe you just a number, but I got plans for you. Listen, whom shall I send? Got to a church that had prayer close to 450, 500 members, and on the upper low bit. In 6 years, God has moved from 2 services to 6 services, from 450 to 2,000. Let me tell you, whom shall I send and who will go for us? God is ready to start a new thing, great things in your life if you're ready to respond to God's call. Yes. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Send me, Lord. Stand on your feet. Whom shall I send? Don't look at me. Don't look at the person sitting next to you. Close your eyes and visualize yourself in conversation with Jesus. Hear him ask you the question, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? By asking God is here this morning. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? I am thine, O Lord, and I heard thy voice. And it's all that love to me. And I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me near. Near, O blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord.
As we continue to sing, deacons, deaconess, what you are, ministers, sing choir. To thy service, we want to invite somebody, anybody, to surrender unto the Lord today. If you're here today, draw me near,
draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord.
Is there one today?
Draw me
nearer. Through thy precious bleeding side. Come on, let's sing the refrain again. Draw me near. Come on, choir, lift up your voice. Draw me near. Is there another? Is there one? Is there one? Step out and give us your hand and give God your heart. If you need a church home, if you need salvation, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to thy precious.
Let us pray together.
Father, I thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. We thank you for this word today that you have given through this your servant, the Reverend Dr. Samuel B. Reeves. And I pray, dear God, that we would do what you've called us to do. That we would hear and obey. Hear, Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And thou shalt love God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. I pray, Father, that we would be like Israel, that we would hear and obey. Whatever you want us to do, Father, help us to do. Whatever you want us to say, help us to say. Wherever you want us to go, help us to go there. Whomever you want us to be, help us to be lost in you. Father, help us today. If there is some man, some woman, some boy, some girl who have not yet declared in their lives that they're leaving their old stuff behind and grabbing hold to you, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would help them to step out on faith and believe that something is there. So have your way now, God. If there is one, draw them nearer unto thee, O God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. Let all of God's children say together, amen, 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 and amen. Let's put our hands together. Let's give God a praise offering. In the house of the Lord, he's worthy to be praised. The asking God. God bless you all. God keep you.